The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Suckin.
Hello. We've had a really, really busy Twitter. I think people are really motivated and getting back in the game to work. So Sarah Marsh Collings has said, oh my goodness, Paul in Lycra, that would have to go.
Oh, you've been passing that photograph around again. She does this to me.
I'm sorry, it was a request. It was a request.
It's her only way of getting retribution when I outsmart her.
Well, it's a request. And, you know, every now and then we get a little request.
It was security.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
I did 4 hours of Zumba dressed like that with Tracy Crouch, who at the time was the Minister for Sport. And Tracy and I did a four-hour Zumba session. And the reason I'm wearing a pink tutu is because it was a competition that whoever donated the most money could pick what I wore for the Zumba. And the lady that won put 500 quid up for me to wear a pink tutu.
And you looked very fetching in it.
And it has ruined my life ever since.
You look gorgeous.
No, I don't.
Well, I've got a little...
It's not the worst photograph of me, but I managed to get the worst photograph of me taken away. There is one of me naked in a shop window in Whitstable, having had all the hair on my body shaved off. I mean, every last hair on my body shaved off in public, in the window of a hairdresser's in Whitstable. But I did raise 1,600 quid from the crowd that were watching.
Yeah. Wasn't that... it reminds me of that film, Chocolat, where he sits in the window and eating, gorging on the chocolate, the priest.
Yeah.
You know the film, Chocolat?
I do.
Chocolat.
That was with what's-her-face, the French actress that is absolutely gorgeous.
She is. What's her name?
I can't remember.
Short, dark hair. Juliette Binoche.
Juliette Binoche, yeah.
She is gorgeous.
Stunning, yeah.
Yeah, she is gorgeous.
Yeah. Now, if she'd have been with me in the Whitstable shop window, that would have been a different thing altogether.
Yeah. That film is just brilliant as well. And I read the book. Often you'll know about this, guys. But often you read a book and then you watch the film, but the book is actually better. And, you know, when you read the book first, which I always tell my kids to do, and you visualise it, like the Crawdads, you know, where the Crawdads sing that, and then you watch the film and it's all Hollywooded up and it's too glossy. And like Girl on a Train, I read that, great, you get it, you know, gritty Clapham Junction and that, but then it gets glossed over and it's all Hollywood and, you know, weatherboarded, beautiful houses. It sort of loses it sometimes when it's Hollywooded.
Yeah, so, BB, book's best.
Read the book first.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every
time. And I think that's a good thing about winter as well, that you can, you know, it gets dark at 4 o'clock. So that's when you can sort of read and get a bit of time. And that's maybe why the seasons are here, do you think, Lewis and Susie?
So are you not allowed to read in the summer or something?
Well, no, but summer, I'm charging about more in the evenings, doing more, seeing friends.
Oh, see,
going
I quite
out.
Like sitting outside on the swing chair.
I do.
And read a good book and, you know.
Well, on holiday, of course, is a really good.
Well, then it's like being on holiday.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I have a, at home.
There's something about a swing chair. And you know, what does it do to your brain? Because I love a swing chair.
I have no idea, and I don't care because I love it.
It's that gentle. And hammock. Put me in a hammock.
Oh. It's very, very soothing.
It's why we rock babies, perhaps.
Well, babies in the womb are in water. So as you're moving around, as a parent, sort of a mum growing one, you're bathing and soothing and rocking them every time you move.
I've got a tweet here.
Oh, God, here we go.
From Martin Reeves. And he said, it took me 3 goes to give up smoking because, as Paul just said, I'd think I'd have one more and then give up after that. He said, growing up, everyone was smoking anywhere pretty much, which is true. He said, I tried hypnotherapy a few times. He said, but the hypnotherapist had a habit of sniffing and it put me off.
Make sure you go and see a therapist that hasn't got any irritating habits. Gosh.
Yeah. He said, yeah, now I don't smoke, but I sniff a lot.
We can sort that out.
Yeah, Wayne Cunnington, I guess you saw this, have you? For your continuing pain after extraction, Jules, I recommend Orogel, which you can get from most chemists and supermarkets.
Is that what you, the name that you recommended?
No, it's Ambisol. Ambisol.
So there's Ambisol and Orogel and...
A liquid, and it's an anaesthetic, and you can use it up to 12 or 13 times a day.
I've got here, for any homeopaths listening, I've got Bellis P, Calc, and Hypericum, and as you know, Hypericum is actually aspirin, but it's the real form, I think. I think it's a white daisy.
Yeah, no.
It's a white daisy.
No, rub a dead squirrel on it.
Rub a dead squirrel.
And then you bury it under a...
And then you bury it under a tree and it goes away.
Have you got
Everyone knows that.
Have you got a dead squirrel? You've got lots of...
I can sort that out for you.
Squirrel.
Do you know what I did? Do you know what I did yesterday? No, the day before yesterday. I put out some new bird feeders, right? And yeah. I hung it on a frame by my swimming pool, okay? Not only did the blooming squirrels get into it, they got the whole thing down and they ran off with it. The whole
wild squirrels.
18-inch bird feeder. They picked it up and ran off with it and took it up into the trees.
Oh, don't know. That's awful. Have you got it back?
No, I can't get up there, can I?
I'll keep
shouting and bring it back, Tufty.
You know what you want to borrow?
What? Shotgun.
Darcy Greyhound.
Oh, she'd be useless, wouldn't
she? She catches rats like anything. She's caught two rats in our garden.
My dog goes woofing around the garden, barking at them. And if they stop and look at her, she comes and runs indoors and hides.
Oh. Yeah, but you want a greyhound because that's what the gypsies use them for, the lurchers.
I don't want a greyhound, thank you.
Oh, it's very interesting because, you know, PC and all that, we're supposed to, you know, I was told that we're supposed to say travellers now, not gypsies.
Don't go there, shut
but
up.
But the lady that's working for me is of gypsy family. And she calls herself a gypsy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was talking to the new husband about this. I said, oh, all this PC stuff, I don't know what to say. She calls herself a gypsy. And I was saying traveller. So he said, new husband.
Other words are available.
He said, travellers are people that travel, and gypsies are people that are actually... Gypsy. Gypsies don't travel. No, gypsies are, you know, she lives in a house in Herne Bay, so she's not a traveller anymore. She is of gypsy blood.
Whatever.
So it's very fascinating, isn't it?
No.
Do tweet if you can tell me.
IQ Property Services. Remember that, Tony Cheeseman?
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, and they've tweeted, great show so far, Vanilla Webb and Jules Sirkin and Susie. Sounds like she can really help people. We're listening out for Lewis, but can't say we'll be showing up for CrossFit anytime soon. Sorry.
Maybe I can change your mind.
And congratulations on 16 years of the Bunker Show. Well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you.
Maybe I could therapeutise them to go to the gym, you see. There you go. As a thought.
You two definitely work together.
Yeah.
Synergy. Synergy.
You mean synergy?
Synergy, maybe. Don't know what I mean. And then there's crypto_2D game. He's info on creating computer games and crypto fitness. I think that might be separate, crypto-fitness. Contrarian. And he's talking to me about my crisps, and he said no crisps are good for you.
Just told you that.
Yeah, but he's agreeing with you. But then he did concede that my way of doing plain with a cider vinegar on was actually, if you want a crisp, it's the better way of doing it. Yeah, Lewis.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, Zenat's been on. You know Zenat, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You've been on Zenat show. Zenat Narani of Mindset Matters Show here on this very radio station says, may I have a birthday shout out, please, as my show Mindset Matters was 3. Yes.
Oh, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Mindset Matters. It's a great show. Fridays, 10:30. Listen, that's an order. Right. We're going to talk to Lewis in a moment, but we're trying to catch up. She's wasted the whole half of the first part of the show. We haven't covered anything yet.
I know, but you know, some of our listeners say that that first 20 minutes is their best favourite bit. Isn't that
Yeah,
sweet?
You know why?
Why?
They go and have breakfast while you're on.
Oh, yeah. That's very sad of you to say that. But, you know, they like the music, the cheesy tunage and the vibe. And no news. That's always good. I love not hearing the news. Over Christmas, I deliberately turned it off every time it came on. It was
good
great.
Idea.
It was
great. Very good idea.
It was great. Because they pump the same things through, don't they?
It's
climate change at the moment. Driving me mad. Like the hottest, you know, I was freezing in June.
I accidentally saw something on the telly the other, I never watch telly. The only thing I ever watch on telly is football. I don't watch anything else on telly. Mm. Or apart from the Horizon programme, which I watch because I was...
Yeah, I'm going to watch that. I've got to be in the right frame of mind.
But I happened to be passing one of our tellies in our house the other day and I made the mistake of stopping.
How many tellies have you got?
Quite a few.
Really?
And I stopped and was looking at it and it was one of these soap opera things. I'll tell you what, it's no wonder that society is a bit of a mess that it is.
Oh, they're hideous.
Where entertainment is a small village in the Yorkshire Dales.
Which one was it?
There's a small village in the Yorkshire Dales that's got about five houses in it. But this week alone, seven people have been murdered. Yeah. 18 people have had affairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And four of the people are permanently injured and one's a nutter.
Yeah.
And you go, blimey, yeah, if it's that bad in a small village in Yorkshire, what must it be like in a big town?
Well, I haven't watched EastEnders since the days in the 80s of Dirty Den and Ange, when it was actually really good and it was riveting. And I saw it the other day. I can't remember why it was on. I don't watch daytime TV at all. And it was just awful. And all the girls looked like celebrities. They all had long blow-dried hair and eyelashes and lips, you know, duck lips. You know what I mean? And I just thought people aren't like all like that. Well, they are in Herne Bay,
they are in Heckhorn as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they are now, because that's exactly what I'm saying.
They're fed.
It's people's lifestyle is kind of driven by what they consume.
You are everything you learn.
Yeah, and I just find it incredibly poor that. The most popular programmes on TVs are all these programmes that are just shouty, violent,
well, it's
nasty.
Like, what is the most read newspaper in the UK? The Sun. Well, doesn't that just tell you everything about society? If you're a Sun reader, but...
I can't do this because we're
live.
I can't do this. No, there's a paper which I have never read ever.
Says he's got it in his handbag.
No. There's a paper called the Sunday Sport. Have you ever come across that?
Yeah. Well, it's worse than the Sun.
Oh, it's worse than anything. It's just a parody paper is really what it is, and like Elvis found on the moon and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
But they've got a Twitter handle. And they put these headlines on their tweets, and they're ridiculous. Some of them are disgusting as well. I mean, really, truly disgusting. But the other day, somebody tweeted something, and the Sunday Sport went, "We're the Sunday Sport. We tweet some disgusting stuff, but even us wouldn't have put that."
It's Intune PR, the lovely Natural Dazzle Darren, has sent a lovely gif, as I call them, of a swinging Mexican mad squirrel after a bird thing.
Yeah.
Which I've had to retweet because it's very good. He says, "Paul is obviously being visited by the Royal Kentish Squirrel Engineers, not just Mexican ones."
Yeah.
Actually, I'm just looking at it now. That is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
That, dare I say, nuts?
Yeah. I sometimes think, though, talking to TV, I watch a lot of films, I love films, that we're being fed stuff. Like, I watch a film and we're definitely being fed things. I've watched a few now and I said, God, they're really feeding it through. And I watched a BBC thing the other day. I have to be careful what I say there. But they ticked every diversity box in one show. They had a person of little growth. I don't know what you're allowed to call them.
Listen, you're trying to get us banned, aren't you?
They had every diversity thing on of like 10 or 15 in one thing. Like you're saying, in the village... They were just, and it's just ridiculous. You think?
Listen, anyway, I want to change the subject because I'm going to talk to Lewis in a minute because he's been waiting there patiently to tell us all about CrossFit. But I want to mention this because this is going to be interesting to you, I think, Jules.
Yeah.
A family-run pub which mysteriously closed and has been put on the market for £600,000. Leisure property specialist Floretz has revealed that the Ship Inn in Konya...
Oh, my favourite!
Yeah.
Is it for sale?
Has been sold by private clients after its lease came to an end last month.
I want it.
A notice from owner Swale Marina appeared on the door of the Freehouse announcing it was ceasing trading. The 18th century pub was once a popular place for customers to eat and drink near the water at Konya Creek on the Saxon shore between Sittingbourne and Faversham. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the Ship Inn at Konya where you went three nights running just to have the yogurt? Yeah. What's his name?
Baked vanilla yogurt.
The baked vanilla yogurt. Three nights running she went to this
and
pub just to have the dessert.
Now, the chef at the time was Matt, I think. Well, nearly all the chefs I know are called Matt. And he was on my show on Scoff and Quaff. How much is it on for?
600,000.
I want it. Now, what do you think? My new husband will sell my house and buy that. Could you do it quicker?
Yeah, but I don't think you get Yogurt Waslanes. What are they?
Yeah, but I know the chef. I just get him in.
Yeah, what are they?
Baked yogurt, vanilla yogurt. It was
baked vanilla
it
yogurt.
It was just that I love vanilla. Anything like panna cotta, don't like it played around with. I don't want it all with chocolate on it. I just a plain vanilla.
Guess what my Twitter
cotta.
Handle is.
Vanilla Web.
Oh, it's Vanilla Web.
Yeah, that's why I love you, see, vanilla. Yeah. And even my essential oils, like last night, I was thinking, what shall I burn? I always have them in my bedroom before we go to bed. And I put a little bit of vanilla essential oil in last night. Very nice. But the new husband comes in, ruins the whole vibe, comes in, turns off my music that I'm playing, blows out the candle with the essential oils in, gets into bed and snores. 30 years, darling, we've done together. You know, it's
that's my
that.
Boy.
Yeah, and I said,
sprint, was it? It's a marathon.
I said, you've ruined the whole ambience. You know, blown. Yeah. Parsnips. Parsnips.
Sorry, Vicar.
And the sprouts.
Oh, bless him.
On that note, sorry about that's the worst guest setup ever, that, isn't it? It's got absolutely nothing to do with Lewis. It's a pleasure to welcome Lewis Sutton onto the show. Lewis is from Market Town CrossFit. Lewis, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting up with his nonsense for an hour and a bit, patiently sat there looking with a look of disbelief on his face. I don't blame you one minute.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Lewis, kick off by telling us a little bit about Lewis first. Yeah. It's you and your brother own the business, yeah?
Yeah, me and my brother Joe, yeah, we have the business.
Yeah.
We opened it about 5 years ago.
Right.
Just coming up to our fifth year.
Okay.
Next month, so, yeah, a little while now.
Okay, come forward a little bit so I can... That's it, that's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. So, what inspired you to think about opening the business in the first place?
So I was in another job, and that job was quite physical. I was a farrier, so I used to put shoes on horses.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, for a long time.
Whereabouts?
Around Ashford, Kent, around down.
Wow, do you ride as well?
No.
Or just get kicked?
No, he hates horses.
That's why I got out of it. Physically, it was putting me in quite a bad state. You spend all your day sort of hunched over and, getting pulled around by horses. Most farriers sort of...
I have to tell you, for some reason, I'm an obsessive Facebook video watcher of farriers with their clippers and stuff like that doing either oversized donkey hooves or
how did you get into farrier it's a very unusual there. I mean I know we have farriers and we're rural but it's quite unusual to grow up and think I'm gonna be and you don't ride that's what I don't
not
get
really. I used to when I was younger
so you like horses
okay I mean we've got a little pony at home my wife's into horses. That's kind of how I met my wife originally.
So do you do still farrier your own pony?
Just I only need to trim, so that's all right.
A little bit of hoof oil. Bit of hoof oil.
But I'd always been into fitness. I'd swam competitively when I was younger.
Did you?
Always been to the gym. And did kickboxing for a while. I've been to probably every gym around. I've always been interested in that side of things. When I wanted to get out of farrier, it was kind of the natural thing to go into. I've been doing CrossFit for a while anyway. We decided to open our own box. My brother was also ex-army, so he is kind of sort of something that he was into as well, that kind of training from what he'd done. And we decided to go for it, really. It was kind of a bit of a leap, to be honest, at the
sure.
time. But it was something we wanted to do. So, yeah, we just decided to go for it.
Okay. Obviously, we're going to talk about CrossFit eventually. A lot of our listeners will be fascinated by the journey, and you and I were discussing this off air and some of the issues with around starting a gym or a CrossFit training place. So you and your brother Joe had this idea: we want to do this.
Yeah.
Obviously, you need somewhere to do it.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of discuss that journey because I just happen to know I've got a place in Tenterton, a business community, and the council get really obsessive by going, "You can't have a gym." Well, I don't want a gym, but you can't have a gym even if you want one. Oh, I don't want one.
Yeah. Why don't they like gyms?
Well, we can't work this out, but that's one of the things I was talking to Lewis about finding premises, and you had problems finding premises where you were allowed to have a gym,
So do you know why, Lewis, they're anti-gym?
I don't know. I did have one where we were trying to get change of views. And they were, for our type of gym, I've got five coaches, but at the time I didn't have as many as that. We've grown. And they originally sort of kind of said that, oh, there's not really going to be enough staff. So I don't know whether or not it's kind of to do with that. They want
what they want
to be able to
jobs.
Like, hire more people than. But,
yeah, but it has to grow.
Wouldn't let you have change of use. I think we had.
What was it before?
The unit that
was
I was in.
Was it a barber's
in,
or something?
Well, the unit I was in was actually it was BB World or something like that. It had like airsoft guns. Right. So we found little plastic BBs all over the place before.
Right, okay.
Everywhere. But we had a couple fall through in the process. So when you first start thinking about opening a gym, you think, I know, I want that unit, but it doesn't go as smoothly as that, because you get through sort of the process and then they say, oh no, sorry, we don't want gyms on this estate like this.
How funny, you'd think they'd want the fitness kick and the whole
I think in Ashford there are a lot of gyms, even though they do obviously want they want people to be getting fit and things like that, but there are quite a lot of gyms in Ashford, so I suppose they have to kind of limit them to an extent and they want other businesses to come in.
So they have Turkish barbers instead, and nail bars.
And nail bars everywhere,
And coffee shops.
But yeah, so it's tricky to get the change of use. I was talking to one of my coaches not too long ago about it, and it was something he thought, oh, he hadn't necessarily considered when we were opening a gym, and I said no, it wasn't me either, it was I just thought I'll find a unit, and as long as I can afford it and the minute it's within the budget and things, then we'll be able to open.
And do you have to have showers and things like that?
We've got a shower and toilets, but it's a little bit of a different setup to you mean a lot of gyms, but because a lot of our space, so CrossFit gyms are called within the CrossFit kind of community, they're called boxes. They're called boxes because basically they're kind of empty, unlike your conventional commercial gym where you've got lots of
all
static
the equipment.
Machines. We get it out at the beginning of every session, depending on how the session's programmed, and then we put it away at the end.
What so do you get out?
So it could be rowers, like bikes, barbells, so we do Olympic weightlifting and things like that. We got a big rig set up for pull-ups and stuff like that, and then boxes, yeah, it can be anything really, just depends on how it's programmed.
Paul can't wait.
I mean, that's kind of my next train of attack here, Lewis, which is to explain what CrossFit actually is and how it differs from a gym.
So CrossFit itself is a strength and conditioning program. It uses functional fitness. The goal is to try and work on everything rather than kind of specific goals. I say to a lot of people that come to us, like, what have you done previously? If you've got any sort of experience in gyms, and a lot of people say, I either mainly do like running and bike, or I do strength training. So they don't tend to work on everything. Not to say everyone, obviously some people do, but with CrossFit you don't have the option. You come in, it's programmed, and you're taught how to do the things that you probably don't feel comfortable with. So I think a lot of people don't do strength because maybe they've just got no experience in it.
Strength is so, I hate weights, and I find it really boring. And but some people love it, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, what we do is very different to your typical strength training. So we add strength into what we call WOD, so workouts. We do most sessions have a strength element and then a conditioning, but even within that, there'll be kettlebells, dumbbells, all those sorts of things involved. But it's a little bit different than doing your set, waiting for 3 minutes and then doing another set and then waiting. You mean,
so is it more full on, more constant?
It can be. It depends on the session. We try and change it up as much as possible. I mean, as CrossFitters, we see routine as the enemy, like just repetition. Even though we do the same movements, we don't want it to be the same thing. So we change the way it's formatted, try and involve as many different movements as we can, rather than it just being repetitive and same thing. Because that's another thing I say to people, do you follow a program? And they say no. I'm like, so you just go and do the thing you want to do?
Yeah.
That doesn't get you anywhere. The thing you want to do is the thing you're comfortable with, unfortunately,
which
then doesn't get you the results you want.
And does Brother Joe bring in his army techniques? Does he shout a lot?
So within CrossFit itself, it originates from America, kind of Navy SEALs.
So he shouts in American. Hey, guys!
I mean, it has got a lot of American roots. So
does it say awesome a lot?
So there's lots of, like, you know, shouting in support, and you mean I've had people across in the past sort of say, oh, it's like it's a little bit different to being British, so they're a bit kind of put off maybe by how positive the environment is.
Way to go!
Yeah, well done! This is amazing. Everyone's like, yeah. And some people are like, yeah, that's not what we're used to in England.
Hang on, bring in Susie there, because you would see that positivity in an American sort of way as a good thing, I would think.
Oh, definitely. Mm. Definitely. It gets the endorphins going, and it makes you feel really happy and really positive and exhilarated.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd also say compared to... So I see a lot, and I have seen a lot of people go to gyms, and they always say, like, they picture on their sort of social media and they say, oh, great, empty gym. Like, that's total opposite to a CrossFit gym. Like, you want it busy. Like, you want to be surrounded by...
You want a buzz.
Community. You want people... You mean, you want people there that you can bounce off. And we've got a great community at our gym. It's one of the things I'm most proud of. People are very supportive of each other. If someone comes in and they've just started, I mean, the first thing I know is going to happen is one of my members is going to walk over and make them feel very welcome, including my coaches as well. But I know that, and I always try to kind of reinforce that as well to make sure that it happens.
Okay. Is CrossFit something you do one-to-one, or do you do as a group session, or is it both?
So we mainly supply as program sessions. So there's up to 15 people on a session. So obviously the busier times, there's normally 15 people on them. Some of the kind of quieter times, there might be more half of a session, but it's class based with a coach, so it's coach led from start to finish.
Right.
So there's it's an hour long, and right, it's programmed for that hour. So when you start, you'll be taken for a warm up, then you'll go through maybe a strength element that might be Olympic lifting or compound lifts, so deadlift, bench press, strict press,
right,
squatting, things like that, and then you'll then do normally a conditioning part. There might be some skill work, so we do things like gymnastics elements, which
he would love
when I say gymnastics, a lot of people kind of think backflips, and
he would love
it's
that
not necessarily that it's
he's got the gear
pull-up, it's pull-ups, you mean sort of core work, pull-ups, push-ups, all that sort of thing, rings, you know, like the gymnastics rings, so dips, handstand push-ups if you get to that
he's
point.
Really
and
good at that.
I'm trying to visualise that because I don't want to look. Yeah. I don't want to come and have a look. Sorry, Lewis, I don't. But I'm trying to visualise how this takes place.
Yeah.
So you've got a group of people with a coach-led thing.
Yeah.
And they're doing, I don't know, some strength work.
Yeah.
Is everybody doing the same kind of things at the same time?
So everyone will be doing basically the same thing. You might team up with a person. So we've got 15 people in a session. We've got 8 squat racks. So you might go, right, I'll team up with you. So you do your set, I'll do my set. And then you work through it. But yeah, everyone will do the same thing. One of the keys with CrossFit is that with a lot of people, they'll say, oh, I don't do that because I can't. So it's my coach's job to give them something they can do to progress them to what they eventually want to be able to do. So.
Right.
A good example is squat depth. You mean being able to get to a full depth squat is a priority above trying to do a half squat with loads and loads of weight on it. Like the goal is functional movement, and you should be able to use your body in a functional way that you should be able to use outside as well. So I give an example of if you drop something on the floor and you ask a child to pick it up, they'll squat to pick it up. An adult will probably put a knee down and probably holding their back and things like that because they have lost the ability to be able to squat down to depth from sitting in chairs, driving, all that sort of stuff.
Do you know what I do? I go mad, I'll drop my fork. Can you pick it up for me, love?
But yeah, so it's actually supposed to be training you in a way that you can use outside the gym. So not typical, like just the way you look. It should be, you mean, your general health.
Lifestyle.
Your lifestyle. Mm. To be able to get outside the gym and use what you want to do. I went on holiday earlier in the year and we went to a kind of sightseeing, and it was quite a lot of walking.
And you climbed the Eiffel Tower and swung off it.
Yeah, run up there. Was one of the things I noticed was people in their 20s and 30s, you mean, needing help from their partner or their family member to, like, maybe get up a step or something like that. For me, it's like, that is a concern. Like, when you're in your 20s and 30s, like, that shouldn't be something that's necessarily a problem, and you should want to work on that so you can feel
and posture. Posturing young people.
What do you think is the reasoning behind that? I mean, obviously, obviously, we don't want to be horrible to anyone. You know, some people are overweight, vastly overweight, and it's understandable why they can't do things like that because they're overweight.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you ever see people that you think, why can't you do that?
Definitely, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, some people, one of the things that I see sometimes is that as part of my job and my coach's jobs is we look at the way people move.
Yeah.
It's, so, like, it's such a big part of what we do. And the thing is with it is that, so I have people come to me and they've done running and they've run marathons, they've run ultras and they've done all this sort of stuff. And yeah, okay, they're incredibly fit at that one thing that they do. And then I get them to squat and they've got no ability to squat whatsoever. Right. And it's because they haven't explored those ranges of motions and things like that, which they've then lost. And you lose it if you don't. So suppose you might work at a desk, but you do lots of running in your spare time. By sitting at a desk, you will find that you'll lose your mobility and your hips will get tight, your hamstrings get tight, and then you go to use that outside. But it's the key phrase, like, you don't use it, you lose it. It's as
simple as that. Absolutely. And we are a very sedentary society these days.
Yeah.
And I tell you, one of the things that I'm very aware of with me, I spend hours on my phone every day, reading emails, looking at social media, whatever. And I realise, and I'm a massive book reader as well, and I either read on my phone or on a Kindle, but you end up in a position, even if you're in bed, you know, where you're constantly holding a phone
and
I'm thinking, this isn't good, you know, my posture's all over the place. Looking at this, it's called, isn't it?
I see people on the seafront where I live and their mums are walking along and the babies in the pushchair have got a little tablet. It sickens me, and the kids are walking along, they're not listening to the sea, they're not talking, and they're on their phones filming themselves walking along. It's bonkers. It's very sad, and I use my phone a lot too, but there are times you have to put it away.
We're all very guilty of it, as you say. Posture is another one, as you said. Like, so I have people come to me like, oh, I've had a rotator cuff injury, or like around the back of the shoulders, and I say to them, but I normally can kind of have a conversation with them about their job, and that normally leads to why they've ended up with this problem. And it's weakness, just because, as you say, we don't use our bodies the way we should, really. Like, they're just, we spend hours and hours in certain positions, and then that creeps up over years. It's not something that, if you did it for a week, it's not going to cause you too many problems, but you do it for years, and because our jobs keep our mind busy, we then, they just, years go past like there's no tomorrow, and you don't really realise what's happening to you.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
So posture's a big one. So people have a lot of shoulders, neck issues, and again, we're trying to create all over strength to try with the aim to get people out of pain so that they can move more functionally. So a lot of the time, it's, I hurt my shoulder, so I just don't use it. And I say, like, but
you
have
to.
That's not an option. Like, you're going to want to use it in life. So we need to try and address it rather than just don't use your shoulder ever. Like, you mean
one of the first things I bought my new husband years ago, before they were popular, was a standing desk, because he was spending so long, you know, sometimes 14 hours at his computer or longer.
Yeah.
Bought him a standing desk, and he's a very good stander. Some people can't stand for very long, but he uses that a lot. And I also make him walk round a lot using the phone.
It's actually a funny thing. I own three co-working spaces, and standing desks are a big thing now. Mm. A lot of people will go, I need one of the standing desks. If you haven't got any, I'm going to go out for a walk and then come back when one's free. Yeah. When you've got sitting desks all over the place. Mm. So it is a big thing. Mm. And it's understandable. I want to ask you a kind of tough question now.
Yeah.
And I have no interest in this, so it's, you can give me an honest answer.
Yeah.
how long, from someone that's fairly unfit, but without being too silly, like someone in their 30s or whatever, from being reasonably unfit, how long before you would see a difference, do you think, when doing something like CrossFit?
I mean, it's hard to gauge, because it depends on what difference you're kind of looking for.
Sure.
One of the key things is, so I try and say to people, so we have like an app that people can track all their workouts so they can see it like in numbers, because if you can see in numbers, it's easy to gauge. I can look at someone and I can be like, look how much you progress. But if they're not like, oh, I completed something quicker, or I lifted more weight, because they're numbers, it's easy for them to see. Even though, for me, if you move the same weight you could 4 or 5 weeks ago, but you move it better, that's progress. But they won't, a lot of people don't see that as progress.
Sure.
So they kind of need the number of how much they lifted or if they did more reps and stuff like that. But it really comes down to your goals. So that's, some people come to me because they want to get stronger, some people because they want to get fitter, some because they want to lose weight. So it really kind of depends on your goals and how much time you've got to dedicate. I mean, I try and say, it was interesting what Susie was saying, that again with the 2024 new year, new me thing, is people can be really guilty of just going too much too soon, and you need to do something you can manage to make it long term. So same with like people's diet. I have people come to me and they say, I couldn't stick to this diet, and then they show it to me and I'm like, I've been doing this for years, I wouldn't be able to stick to that. You're going to stop, and if you stop, then that diet didn't work, and it's like, no, you just didn't do it long enough. And most diets work as long as you...
But it has to be lifestyle, doesn't it? You can't just eat lettuce for the rest of your life, because you're going to crash and then put on weight and boom and bust and all that malarkey. Yeah. It has to be food you like.
It does.
Tasty.
Yeah, it has to be something that's manageable for you, and we're all different. So the key thing is not looking at someone else and going, oh, well, they did, it didn't work for me. So that's fine. You might have a different job. You might have a different relationship with your food. I think you mentioned earlier that some people don't, when they are stressed, they don't eat. Some people do eat. And it's kind of learning about yourself and actually what to make.
And also being organised. Like, meal prep is a great thing. Like, my daughter, Sid, she meal preps every Sunday night or whatever, and she makes all her stuff for the week because she's busy. Her protein and her whatevers.
I do mine as well.
Meal prep is great. And I always cook from scratch, another thing.
I get all my pots for the week. Chicken, beef.
What do you think about his mindset, Susie?
Post-it notes.
Post-it note. Tuesday's chicken noodles.
What do you think about his mindset, Susie?
It's fabulous.
2024,
Is nutrition something you focus on with CrossFit?
So we don't have at the moment. I mean, I'm hoping to introduce one. We don't specifically have like a nutrition program that I sell to people. I try to just advise them. I've actually got a coach who has got her own meal prep company, as you just said, and I mean, that helps anyone that wants to use it a lot, because then they don't have to worry about doing it themselves. So we get like meals delivered every Monday. It's called Get Prepped, and I've been using it for years. I've used it for like 5 years because I just find it so much easier. And I always find with food prep, when you do it yourself, even though I'd say I'm a very dedicated person, eventually it's easy to just go, because of the time it takes to do, or because you have to prep it and you do like a batch cook, you end up eating the same thing all week. Whereas with Get Prep meals, what they do is you might have 6 meals and you can order a variety of them. They come on a Monday and then you go, what am I in the mood for now? And then having that there, you say, preparation is key.
So what's their website? We give them a shout. Getprepped.co.uk.
I would say,
I'll have a look for them and give them a shout.
But yeah, so that's one of my coaches, Sarah. And so I've used that for years.
So your kind of average CrossFit member, do you call it a gym?
No. It's a CrossFit box, but
Facility, a box, gym, a CrossFit box. Of course it is. It's a CrossFit box. I know that. the average member of your box, is it something, you get gym bunnies that, just go to the gym every day or, whatever they do forever. Is that similar with CrossFit? Do people, is it something people do all of the time? They may only do it once a week or every day or whatever they choose to do, but is it a long-term thing for them?
So, I mean, that's the aim for us, is I try to get people in the mindset of finding a way that they can enjoy their training, overseeing it as something, as a way to punish themselves for eating a bad meal, or what they call a bad meal. I mean, I try not to say good and bad food and all that sort of thing. At the end of the day, it's all about balance. But we've got a variety of all sorts of people. I mean, a lot of people come to us because they want guidance more than anything. One of my kind of proudest moments was I had a female member who messaged me and said they went away on a work trip, and they went into a gym with a couple of the guys from her work, and she said, I was by far the most confident with the weights. And I was just like, that's amazing. Like, because for me, it's just trying to teach people how to do things. I mean, gyms have obviously got a really good place in the fact that if you know what you're doing, like, they're good. But yeah. I've always said to people, if you don't know what you're doing, I swam, I had a coach, I played rugby, I had a coach, I did kickboxing, I had a coach. Mm. When people go to the gym, they then have no one unless you have a PT, which is, you mean, I would advise someone, especially for a while. I've got a couple of PTs that train with us, and they say that, you mean, their goal is to almost not have that person forever, to teach them what they need to, and then they can use that and go off and
I use a personal trainer, Ted, in Whitstable, every now and then, just maybe every couple of years, just to change stuff around, you know, and he's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's old, so I like him.
But yeah, we've got a big variety of people, all different ages. Okay. So, I mean, my dad does it, he's 79 now.
Wow, what's his name?
Keith.
Well done, Keith. So does he come to the Boxy gym?
So yeah, so we've got what we call a Legends class on a Tuesday.
Wow. Legends, yeah.
Cool, it's up your street.
So it's for...
He's getting his tutu ready.
60s plus. We've got about four or five of them that come at the moment. We're aiming to obviously try to increase that each week. And then we've got CrossFit Kids, so that starts at the age of 5.
Oh,
so
that's great.
The goal is to try to teach people, as many people as we can, throughout the years to hopefully kind of have a really good relationship with exercise. Again, as I said, not treating it as something that's like a way of punishing themselves. Like, it should be, you mean, it should be something that you enjoy doing. The key is with exercise, it's trying to find something you enjoy doing. If you enjoy it, you will stick to it. As you asked a second ago, we have some people that, you mean, at my gym a lot. Like, I mean, 5-6 times a day, and I have to kind of sometimes have conversations with people going, look, you do still need to rest. Like,
But do you have a home to go to?
You do. I mean, sometimes as well, people don't only use it for the physical benefits, they use it for the mental benefits as well. So, I mean, sometimes those people that do train a lot, it's not, they're not only doing it because they want to be physically fit. There's also kind of one of my biggest goals this past year has been to try to help people to understand that CrossFit as a sport and CrossFit as a kind of training program are two very different things. So there is CrossFit as sport, you type it in and it's CrossFit Games and the CrossFit Open, and it's people doing, you mean, incredible things. Like, you're deemed the fittest man on earth or the fittest woman on earth if you were to win, because across the board you are the best at everything rather than having one discipline. But I do say to people, that's not your average gym. That's not the people in your gym. Like, most people they've got a job, they've got kids, they've got, you mean, they've got other things. And
bills to pay and laundry to do.
They haven't got the time to dedicate to that type of thing. But so even though the CrossFit Games is very good because it does get CrossFit name out there, I do try to help people, like, that's not, because people look at it and go, I can do that, so I'm just never going to walk in. So I try to help people understand that that's not what you're going to get when you come in. When you come in, there's going to be people of all different. Some people have never done a single bit of exercise their whole life when they come in. And I do say to them, great, like, let's hope that we can give you the steps that you need to, so that
with the whole exercise thing, especially with people that are trying to lose weight with exercise, you've got this whole, I'm looking at Susie as well, because, you know, you've got this whole mindset thing that says, right, I've bought all the Lycra gear, and I've turned up, and now there's other people watching me, and I can't, you know, in my first couple of sessions, I can't do anything. I can't even bend over. I certainly can't touch my toes or whatever. Yeah. So they give up there and then because of what I would call the embarrassment factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get that with CrossFit?
But that is another really, really good thing about CrossFit, is because it's class-based. So suppose you come to my gym at 5:30, you're not going to walk in and go, wow, this place is just completely crammed with people after work. Right. Obviously, that's a lot of the busiest time, waiting around for your own equipment, people doing their set, and then because everyone's training, even though you're training in the same building, you're training individually.
Right.
Whereas with CrossFit, you train together.
Yeah.
So if you're doing something, someone else is doing something. They're not looking at you.
You're all too busy trying to get your breath.
I couldn't tell you, when I'm training, I couldn't tell you the song that's on. I couldn't tell you who else is in the room. Because I'm just focused on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So that's another beauty of by training in a session. But again, the first thing you will find is that within a CrossFit community is that everyone around you will be supporting you rather than criticising you in any way. Okay. Like. So that there is a big difference to that.
Can I just interject on that one?
Because
there is another thing as well, is that what we forget is that everybody else is really concentrating on themselves as well. Yeah. Everyone's standing thinking, oh my God, everybody's looking at me. Everybody's judging me. Yeah. No, they're not. They don't care. Yeah. They don't care about you at all. Yeah. They just care about themselves, and they're only thinking about themselves. How many times have you walked down a high street, and this is fascinating, you just watch and see how many times people look in the glass windows of the shops just to tweak the hair or check the this or check the that, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just don't care.
I had a member like actually the other day, which I've never thought about, but he called it, I can't remember the exact term he used, but it was like player one syndrome or something like that. And it was basically you're the player one, and everything around you in the world is going on around you, and you're the, and it's like, and it was an interesting concept, because actually that's kind of what a lot of people are like. They're kind of thinking that everyone else is only focused on them.
They're
the player one in their own game.
Self-consciousness, isn't it? Self-consciousness. Yeah. I don't know, you need to have a bit of confidence to start. But once you start, it's amazing how quickly you learn stuff, isn't it? You know, 3-4 weeks and it starts to feel a bit easier.
Yeah. I mean, within CrossFit, there's a lot of, I always say to new members, like, there's a lot of skills to learn. So keep it light and just, try and learn. It's difficult when we become adults that we almost stop learning. Like, there's a lot of people that I say to them, like, what was the last thing you actually kind of learned? Once you learn to drive and you get a job and you learn that job and you're in that job, like, there's a lot of people that don't learn. So when they have to learn something new, they kind of look at me like, and I'm like, but when you're younger, you're used to learning. Everything's new.
And you've also got this syndrome of people want everything instantly.
Why can't I do it?
Yeah, I went to a CrossFit once and, that's it now. I'm going to run a marathon now or whatever.
Yeah, you get that also. Yeah, people wanting to be able to do it all.
Yeah.
My son, Shay, is listening and he says that Paul should definitely do a session.
I don't care what Shay's got to say for himself.
He's volunteered you.
Mind your own business, Shay. That's what I'm saying.
You're going to wear your tutu, aren't you?
Yeah.
First session.
Yeah, that will be the biggest laugh of all time if I turned up at your CrossFit box, let me tell you. Lewis, thank you so much for that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Lewis is from Market Town CrossFit, which are based in Ashford. Give us a shout for your website so that people can find out more about you and can come along and tell me what it's like.
It's www.markettowncrossfit.co.uk.
There's a link to that on the Campuses Radio website. That will stay there forever. We wish you continued success with what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
I will come down and have a look sometime, but me and exercise just do not get on.
Though when you've done it, you're so good.
I'm sure. I have nothing against exercise. I love watching people exercise.
Yeah. The best thing that I've ever done is have a dog, because you have to go out, rain, shine, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, but twice a day, and it's also very
with
good.
Onions.
With onions. What's
can
that?
I have I a dog with onions.
Can I just be very cheeky?
Yeah.
Because my husband is really into fitness, and he's actually in September of this year doing a Ironman in Tenby in Wales, which is the cycling and the swimming and the running. And I can't remember how they do something like 120 miles swim. And
is it like a triathlon?
It's like a triathlon, but far more intense. So at the end of it, you actually run a marathon, and that's after you've done the swimming and the cycling. But in February, on February the 10th, he's actually doing a cycle thing where they, the intense cycling that they do.
Yeah.
They're doing it for 12 hours, doing 12 different sessions, and they're raising money for Mind.
Okay.
So he's actually doing it for charity, and that's from the gym that's in Maidstone in Lockmeadow. And if anybody would like to donate to for him to do that, then please can you contact me through the details.
Yeah, absolutely.
And send us a link and we'll put it on the Bunker website as well.
Thank you. I hadn't actually thought about saying anything about that, but listening to you, and it just goes, he's 62. He nearly 62. And
so he could be a legend.
He's a child. He's a child.
He is a legend in his own lifetime. I see him going out in all weathers just to train and do running. I couldn't do it. I really couldn't do it. I do admire him.
We've had a tweet from Martin Reeves listening in. He says, I've never signed up to a gym, but all the people I went to school with who were very competitive and sporty now all seem to smoke and drink. But the ones who'd stop off for a fag halfway around the school cross-country run are now all uber sporty.
No.
and Sarah Marsh Collins listening in, says, strength training is so important. I found powerlifting boosted my CV... cardiovascular fitness enormously. Back into functional training as part of a half marathon training.
I was going to say, she's about to do a half marathon.
Go Lewis, she says.
Thank you.
I think she's taking a spaniel with her, isn't she?
My youngest did the London Marathon this year. Yeah, Stu.
My new follower, crypto_2dgame, says, I was shocked you read out my comment on radio, lol. But yes, I agree with you. He's talking about food and the crisps and the cider vinegar and all that. So cool. Try it at home. You'll like it.
What? Crisps?
With cider vinegar.
No, I don't eat crisps.
Oh, well, don't try them. What do you eat? Nothing, really. Lettuce leaf in the morning.
At the moment, I'm eating junk again, which is why I'm putting weight back on, and I mustn't. I need to... you know, get into eating healthily again and
go and see Lewis. DG East, hi Paul and your little helper. That's me. Please can you give a shout out to a vehicle supplier still fighting for better supply. So they are dgeast.co.uk. They're a provider of cars and commercial vehicles to both private and business customers. New and used vehicles also supplied to order, dgeast.co.uk. But still finding the supply chain difficult.
Yep, we've only got 2 minutes left of the show, so I need to tell you about this. It's the Kent and Medway Business Summit, which is taking place on the 12th of January. It's at the University of Kent at the Business School on the Canterbury campus, and they're bringing together business, academia and strategic partners. You can be part of the conversation. You can book your tickets by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada, and there's a link there where you can see what the full lineup is, what the agenda is for the day, and you can book your tickets. So that's the Kent and Medway Business Summit on the 12th of January.
And Italian restaurant are celebrating after winning a spot in the Michelin Guide after opening for just 18 months. So they are the lauded Up Down farmhouse in Bettshanger this week. It has a charming restaurant with rustic decor. That's what the inspector said. And they only opened in July of 2022. Up Down is the latest Kent eatery to feature in the guide, joining Broadstairs-based Kebbles, added last October with my famous friend chef, Craig Mather. Got to go there. Must go.
Fantastic.
It's a tasting menu, and I'm always a bit dubious about that because I end up spending lots of money and still being hungry.
Somewhere in your pile of emails, you've got a thing about the next Marsh Network, which is fairly imminent, so we probably need to read that in the 30 seconds we've got left.
I've got a big pile here, so to speak.
Yeah, you can get cream for that.
From the chemist. I'm going there on the way back, apparently.
And Basil, yeah.
You've given me so many.
No, you've run out of time.
Bye.
We gotta go.
Bye.
I want to.
Marsh Network is on kentbusinessradio.co.uk under events.
Yeah. If you go to Canada, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada, you can find it there. I think
it's imminent.
Yeah, I think the next one is on the
9th of January at Pet Village Hall, 10:30 till midday. Marsh Network. All details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, so a huge thank you to Susie K. Brooks, NLP therapist, hypnotherapist, and all-round mindy person.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The wonderful Lewis Sutton of Market
Bring it
Town
on,
CrossFit.
Bring it on. Way to go.
my lunatic co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week. See you all soon, and bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.